God showed me I had adopted this replacement model without even knowing it. Yeah. And it was creating for me a barrier in my heart between even what the scripture said about Israel. And as soon as I repented of that, it was like the Bible was brand new to me.
Well, we're on the Uncharted Ministries podcast, and we are privileged to have Nick Lesmeister with us. And Nick is the executive pastor of Church and Israel Relations. Is that right, Nick? Did I get it right?
Yeah, Church and Jewish Relations, but Israel, Jewish, all those.
And all of those. And then you have another title, too, because of the Gateway Center, right?
Yeah, I do. So, yeah, I'm also executive director of the Gateway Center for Israel. So they kind of both function similarly, but it's good to be known as a pastor, I guess, in this space. And I do get to do a lot of pastoring, so I get to wear both hats.
Aww.
Amen. Well, this just tickles our heart. What is going on at Gateway, right, Joanne?
Oh my gosh, yes. We love Gateway. We love what Pastor Robert and the rest of the team stands for. And, you know, we're slowly getting to know more and more of the pastoral staff at Gateway and fall in love with every person that we meet. Your heart, first of all, for people, but especially for, as I mentioned, when we pray, the apple of God's eye, you know, loving the Jewish people, but then loving all of the neighbors around Israel. So it's been so much fun to get involved with Gateway. Really? And our family's getting involved too, which is exciting for us.
Yeah, I know. Well, you told me that you and your army of your family, I don't know how you guys got to church the other day for the Easter resurrection services, but if you chartered a bus or something like that, but it was great for me to be able to message our campus team and ask them to see if we could reserve as many seats for the Doyle family as we could. Oh, and they were
so
like,
sweet.
How many people do they have?
That's
so you
right.
guys are very blessed. Yeah.
We are. I think, did we have, Joanne? 25?
25 of us.
25.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, and you want to hear something amazing, Nick?
This was sweet.
Everybody was on time.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that is amazing.
With all that navigating and little kids up to teenagers, and it was such a blessing, such a great service.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Yeah, it really, really was.
One thing I love about Gateway, I have to say, Nick, is we've been to the main campus in Southlake and the one here in Frisco where we live, but both places you walk in and you feel Jesus. It's light, it's love. You really feel the presence of Jesus, and the people are so friendly and so welcoming. And of course, we know that's a reflection from the leadership of up at the top, and that just trickles down. But it's been very impressive for us to get involved in.
Really,
well,
has
thank
been.
You. It's really an honor to have you guys around here and a part of what we're doing. And and I told Tom this on the phone the other day that I know that God is going to bless Gateway for having you two, you know, being our friends and being a part of what we're doing here. And we feel honored, you know, to just even be here talking with you and getting to be friends in this great kingdom world we live in.
Amen. Well, what a privilege.
You. Well, truly our honor.
It is. And a big part of this is Josh and Tommy and Amanda.
Two of our sons.
Where Josh and Tommy, our sons. That started,
Amanda, our adopted daughter.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That started Uncharted Adventures tour group. And of course, they're in ministry with us. Had a booth at a Gateway conference, and they loved it. And they came back just saying, we met so many cool people that just loved the Lord, loved Israel, had a heart for missions. And this is an amazing church. And so they just did a booth and just met people that week and had such an experience. A big part of it was meeting all of you guys. So thank you for welcoming them.
Well, yeah, it's our pleasure. You know, really credit to my pastor, Pastor Robert. You know, he said one time, I don't know how much he says this publicly, but he said what he had in his heart is that so many pastors want to plant a church that when people come, they never want to leave. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Robert, I want you to plant a church that when I come, that I will never want to leave. And I think that's really what's in his heart, you know, is that he just wants to create space for the Lord to be pleased with whatever happens in our services. And I think, you know, we know that even Jesus says he'll draw all men unto himself. So it's neat to just get to see the sincerity of that lived out as someone on staff and who attends the church too, that it really is. He doesn't just say that. I mean, it really translates into the culture and it trickles down. So I'm very blessed to be on his team and to serve, you know, him and his vision and that God gave him.
Wow, that says something. If you working in the inner ranks see that vision being lived out. How long have you been with Gateway?
I have been on the team for almost 5 years now, actually. I kind of started around May of 2019.
Wow. Well, okay. So we have questions for you. If we've got questions and you've got answers, right?
So I hope so. Yeah.
So we're looking back over our lives and we've been involved in Israel for 30 years now. And it's an incredible privilege, Joanne, that all of us and our children have been there more than once and grandkids are starting to go. But when we got a heart for Israel, our whole life changed. And I was just wondering, you're in this position. How did that come about that God just knit in you this big heart for Israel?
Well, I had this real blessing last week. I was in Nashville when you called me, Tom, and I was at an event that was kind of put on in part because of Pastor Don Finto, who was a pastor in Nashville for a long time. He's 93 years old. Wow. He probably has more energy than I do. I was realizing that I had, because of him, 20 years previously been brought into this whole world. And I was just a young man who just had come to faith. Grew up in a Catholic family, had a really powerful vision of Jesus, a transformational sort of born again experience. And then I went into a Bible college. And when I was there, Wayne Wilkes, who now really was with Pastor Robert from the get-go with the whole understanding of Israel back at the church before Shady Grove. Well, Wayne knew Don and they somehow got invited to this church I was at. It was an Assemblies of God church where I was doing a discipleship training school. And Don was preaching a message and he just stopped in the middle of his message and he stepped aside from the pulpit and he said, "Did you know that your Savior is a Jew?" And I had this really interesting, like, 5 second experience with the Lord where I had grown up Catholic. And so when he said that, in my heart, I kind of went, "No, he's not." And as soon as I said, "No, he's not," it was like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You have anti-Semitism in your heart."
Oh.
This really got my attention. And I said, "Lord, I don't hate anyone." And as soon as the Lord showed me that, he pulled back a curtain of a conversation I had had with someone I trusted when I was younger. And I asked them, "What is the situation with the Jewish people? Whatever happened to them?" Because I lived in this rural town where there was no Jewish people. And they said very quickly to me, "Catholics are the new Jews." So I just had this like split second experience in 2004, I think it was, this replacement model without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And it was creating for me a barrier in my heart between even what the scripture said about Israel. And as soon as I repented of that, it was like the Bible was brand new to me.
Wow.
And so I just started walking it out and I ended up in relationship with Dr. Wayne Wilkes, who started a ministry to the Jewish people and then was really influential in helping Pastor Robert understand what the Bible says about Israel. And then one thing led to another. And I guess here we are 20 years later, but
wow.
I was just reliving that last Tuesday, thanking God and feeling so overwhelmed that, you know, here's this 93-year-old man who imparted something into my life. And I don't think he even knew that. So it just shows you the power of scattering seed and sowing seed and being
right.
a blessing. Yeah.
Did you have a chance, Nick, to tell him what had happened 20 years prior?
I think I had told him a few years ago about it. And he's just such a charismatic, loving guy.
He is.
You know, and that's what really gripped me about him is just his love and his kindness. And he said at this event, he said, "You know, I'm 93 years old. I feel stronger than I've ever felt." He said, "And I believe 100% that I've been able to live this long and be this healthy because I committed early on to be a blessing to the Jewish people." And there was all these rabbis in the room and, you know, they were just so blown away by this. But I think he's right that God has really blessed his life because he's been committed to the Jewish people.
So the first time I went to Israel, someone told me about Don Finto's book, "You Gotta Read This." And I did. Yeah. And it was life-changing. It's one of the first books I read on Israel. And then Joanne said I became an Israel freak. I was reading everything, you know, Gold of My Ears, biography, everything I could get my hands on. And I remember someone in our church saying, "I'm so glad you went to Israel." And I said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" And she said, "Your preaching is way better." I said, really? And I said, what, was it bad? And she goes, no, it wasn't bad. She said, but it's fuller. You're bringing out things that we need to understand from a Jewish perspective. And that wasn't a part of it before. And she said, it's changed you. And it changed you too,
it
Joanne.
It has changed me. And it's interesting what you said about having that anti-Semitic spirit that you didn't realize that you had. I had a similar experience. Tom and I were also both raised Catholic.
Yeah.
And I came to faith in Christ when I was almost 17. You were 18 or 19 or something like that. But I don't remember the events as clearly as you do. But I do remember at one point the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you have got anti-Semitism. It's tiny. But it doesn't matter, even a little bit is anti-Semitism. Wow. You are judging the Jewish people harshly. This was when I was still a teenager. So this was many, 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 many years ago. But I, you know, it was so hidden. I didn't even realize it was there. But I am so grateful that the Holy Spirit bubbled that up so that I could confess that to the Lord and get it out. And so if anybody's listening and you feel like you've got a little bit of something against the Jewish people, you've heard two people say
right now
that they realize they had a spirit of anti-Semitism, which I think is a demonic stronghold. I really do. Yeah. And we're seeing it all around our world right now.
But
if you have that, please confess it to the Lord. Ask for his forgiveness and ask him to cleanse your heart and to give you that beautiful love that he has for his chosen people. The Jews.
And you know, Les, for me, I didn't have an anti-Semitic spirit. I just didn't have a reason to care. I wasn't sure about the whole thing. But I do remember I have a Jewish uncle. He married my mom's sister. And we were at his house in California in June of 1967. And you know what the news was? It was the Six-Day War. And I remember him saying, this is one of the greatest miracles ever. And I was not old enough to really comprehend that, but I remember looking back and realizing the Six-Day War was a great miracle. And so there was always something there where we had a respect for Jewish people because of my Uncle Louis, but boy, going to Israel, it just put it in overdrive.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And what about you the first time you went to Israel? What was it like for you?
Yeah, it was May of 2014. And I went with my wife and our two-year-old daughter, and it was just so surreal. I got involved in ministry to the Jewish people and serving the Jewish people about 3 or 4 years before going to Israel. And even for me, I didn't fully grasp the importance of going to the land itself. I kind of thought, I mean, I was young at this point. I was probably 28 or 29 years old, and I thought, yeah, I'll get there. And I remember, you know, I had a very transformational trip, and my wife and I both did. God spoke some things to us that we didn't even, I think, fully realize the depth of them until years later. And he reminded us of some of the things that he spoke to us on that trip. But I remember looking out the window of the plane as we were taking off at the runway at Ben Gurion Airport. And I just had this strong sense from the Lord. I felt like he spoke to me, you are going to see this runway many, many times. And I wasn't clamoring to be one of those people. I didn't necessarily go and come back like some people joke, like a super Jew, even though I'm not one. You know, like all of a sudden, like everything's about Israel, and I'm you know, this is my home or whatever. But it was a surprise to me. And sure enough, 4 months later, I was moving my wife and my daughter over there to go to Hebrew University for a year. That was a total surprise. I guess it was very transformational. I just didn't really fully realize it until the Lord unwound some things later on.
Wow. Tell us about your time at Hebrew University. I have to say that just pricks a little bit of, man, I wish we could do that.
sounds
amazing.
And just before you answer, here's where I was in 2001, 3 months before 9/11. And I was a pastor in Colorado and believed that I wanted to get my doctorate in archaeology at Hebrew University. So I was applying, and I didn't realize that God was actually pulling us away from the church and was calling us to go into missions. And so it wasn't to go get a doctorate, but I thought about that. I would love to go to Hebrew University, take classes, and God had a different path for us, and we're thrilled what he allowed us to be a part of, but it must have been pretty, pretty top shelf up there listening to some of those teachers at Hebrew, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was surprised they admitted me. You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer academically. My claim to fame on the academics is that I actually caused my wife to miss being a 4.0 student in college because I kept her up late one night and she missed a quiz. I said, "Hey, I've always brought you down to reality, you know." So she's the brains of the family. But so when I got accepted, I was like, "Are you sure?" You know. But I did find out later that I was paying cash, so I think that might have had something to do with it. That's always good. But it was an amazing experience. I was the only Gentile, and I was the only male in a class of 18. So it was me and 17 other Jewish young women, and most of them were, I think it was half secular, you know, and then there were a few Orthodox, but we became really good friends with a couple of them. And yeah, I just learned a lot. I learned a lot, not even so much so in the curriculum. I got a master's degree in nonprofit management and leadership, but just, I think the style of Jewish learning was really refreshing to me. And then just the osmosis of being in the classroom and all the different conversations that we had, the cultural exposure. I remember one time I was taking a break from a class and I went, you know, to go to the restroom, and I'm washing my hands and I look over my shoulder, and this is at Hebrew University's Mount Scopus campus, which for those who don't know, is Mount Scopus is connected to the Mount of Olives, which overlooks the old city of Jerusalem. So I look over and I see through this little window, there's the Temple Mount and the bright gold dome of the rock shining in the sun. And I thought, this is so surreal. I'm washing my hands at my university, and here's the place where, you know, Jesus is going to sit and judge the nations and rule over the world. I felt like that every day, just one surreal moment after another. And so it was really, for me, just a year of almost pinching myself every day to just wake up and say, my home is in Jerusalem. It was pretty wild.
Wow. The year of awe, huh?
Yeah. That's
yeah,
for
and
sure.
Then the real surprise was, you know, the my first day of school, my wife sent me a text and said, "Hey, I'm not the only one who took a test today in school. She took a pregnancy test and found out she was pregnant." So that was our big, you know, kiss from the Lord. Our son was born there.
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so we named him Abraham David. We call him Avi.
Oh,
so
sweet.
It was a memorable year. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So he's got the ultimate party, you know, story in that. You know, he can tell people that his place of birth in his passport says Jerusalem.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
well,
jealous
you know,
of
for the,
I love that.
For the Doyle family, we've said this for years now, because we've been going for 30 years. All good things start in Israel for us. There's been so many life-changing events where we were there in Israel and this happened. Mm-hmm. And just blessings one after another. And my gosh, yeah, what a story that is. That's great. Yeah. Hey, tell us about the Gateway Center for Israel. Tell us about what you guys do and what it's about.
So, you know, our vision is to inspire the church, the global church, to a biblical and sincere love for Israel and the Jewish people. And I think the church's relationship with Israel has been a little bit confused, or at oftentimes it's been, you know, pretty negative. We know, those of us who've been in this world through history, there's been a lot of pain that the church has caused the Jewish people, and a lot of that unwinds to just a really unhealthy theology of Israel, an unhealthy way of understanding the Bible. And then I think on the other side, there's a lot of intimidation. There's a lot of apprehension from Christians because they don't know how to relate to the Jewish people. I think post-Holocaust, a lot of Christians live with a lot of shame about what happened to the Jewish people, and I think that creates sometimes a bridge, or it's a distance of separation where they don't really know. They just feel bad. And so really our heart is to help people understand Israel, help pastors understand Israel, and just give them tools to understand what does the Bible say about Scripture. And ultimately, we would love for every church to have some type of native expression of love for the Jewish people. That's really ultimately for us what success would look like. And not that we want people to copy Gateway, but we feel like we walked this path, and Pastor Robert and our elders and just said with the Lord, "Hey, how do you want us to do this? How do you want us to prioritize Israel?" And so a lot of what we do is just help coach pastors and leaders on what this might look like for them. And we don't feel like everybody should do it the same way, but we think that every church should have some type of relationship with the Jewish community, some yes. type of relationship, an ongoing relationship with the Israel, Israelis going to Israel, and then the Jewish communities around them. So that's kind of what we spend our time doing, is just marrying and spending time building relationship with Jewish people, and then hoping that we can kind of get them into relationship with Christian leaders, and then we can fade off into the back and let them discover what God has for them.
So how has that changed, or has that changed at all since October 7th?
Yeah, it has changed. I think what happened on October 7th is that some of our assumptions were very validated. And I think our assumption has always been, we know that most pastors know that Israel is important to God. I'm speaking about evangelical pastors in the West. I think, you know, our theory is that they do know that Israel is important to God. They read about it in scripture, but they don't know what to do about it. And I think that is what I saw in a big way after October 7th, is that I think people got, in a sense, whether they know it or not, separated out into two camps. There were the people that were just very shell-shocked, and they just didn't know how to speak into the chaos that quickly erupted after October 7th. And then there were those that just, you know, shrunk back. Yeah, so I do. I have compassion for both. I have compassion for the people who feel intimidated, that they don't know what to say or how to say it, because it is such a complicated subject. And then I just have compassion on people who've just never been taught any other way to understand this.
Yeah,
they grew up in a replacement theology worldview. It's the paint that's on the wall. They've become accustomed to it. They don't even know it's there. And I feel like really we just have to have a heart for both people, and we have to help them walk towards a biblical understanding of all this.
You know, so I just received a text from a leader at Passion City Church in Atlanta, and she was saying, what do you say to someone that asked the question, should we support the Israeli military? And this person wasn't antagonistic or anything. They just, they weren't sure. They really hadn't heard anything about Israel. They were new at Passion. And those are legitimate questions. And I think you're right. It became a dividing line October 7th. And some people went one way, some went another, and some just were neutral and really did nothing. And I was thinking about these words in Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. And then it goes on, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. And it goes in and goes on and talks about it as a flood that just swept over the country. And that's such a picture of what happened on October 7th. We've been in Gaza on the other side of the fence when even one Palestinian, one Hamas terrorist got over the fence and they were arrested or Israel took them out. We couldn't even fathom, Les, that there was 500. Then we're hearing 1,000. Then as we've gone on these goodwill trips, we 2,000 came into to Israel. The military, the technology, the communication, the intel, everything goes down. It was a day of shock for all of us. Where were you when all of this unfolded?
Yeah, Nick, where were you? Were you here in Texas or where were you?
I was supposed to leave to go to Israel a week after October 7th, I think on October 13th. And on October 6th, I woke up and my wife and I had this like 1 hour time of prayer and worship. And I just told her, I don't know why. I feel to cancel this trip. And so I literally hit cancel. And then I was going to write to the person, a guy named Rabbi Marty Waldman, who I was going to go spend time with in Israel. And I wanted to wait because it was Friday night and I didn't want to bother him on Shabbat. So I was going to write him on Saturday. So when I woke up on Saturday morning, I was actually at my in-laws, my wife's parents' house. And all of a sudden I just saw all these text messages and alerts and so forth. And so, you know, I just went into diving into consuming as much of the news as I could. And I just had this deep sense of dread as soon as I saw, some of the beginnings of the fatalities and so forth. I just felt like this is really bad. And so then, you know, we quickly mobilized. I was on the phone probably within the first hour with our director of communications, and we were starting to craft, you know, as a church, how do we want to start speaking about this? How do we get people to pray? And then starting to reach out to many of our ministry partners in Israel too, just checking on them, wondering if they're okay. But as you guys know, I think in the first 48 hours, there was just so much shell shock it was like people just felt so disoriented. And I think a lot of us that who've been to Israel and have friends in Israel felt the same way. Like, are we dreaming? Is this, how on earth did this happen? It was just so shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. We were in contact with even people in Gaza, some of the Muslim background believers, and Mohammed, whom we've been discipling, just started sending us things right and left saying, this is horrible. What's happening.
Yeah.
Hamas made us come out to the road and watch the parade of Israeli hostages. And he said they were all cheering. I was crying. Nobody should be treated like that. And he started saying, tell the Israelis, we love them. We're praying for them. And then do you remember what he said? Yeah. He said, tell Israel, tell the IDF, look for them in the city, under the city. Look for them in the city, under the city.
And we knew there were tunnels, but we had, like, nobody had any idea how long and far reaching those tunnels were. But there in Gaza, they knew the city under the city.
He did like eight levels of tunnels. So,
Man.
But like you, we were in such shock. And again, those first 48 hours, there was a lot of conflicting information too. So much of the communication was down. Plus it was Shabbat. It was a holiday. Yeah. So a lot of observant Jews didn't have their phones on. So they're not, you know, getting all these messages. And it was just mass chaos is what it was. But there was such an unbelief. You mentioned the word shock for sure. Mm-hmm. But how could this happen to Israel? Yeah. But yet then we look at scripture and we see the same pattern repeated throughout the whole Old Testament. You know, the children of Israel would stray from God and worship false gods, and God would allow the enemies around them to rise up, and in desperation, they would call out for his mercy. Yeah. They would return, and, you know, the cycle over and over. And that is, in a sense, what happened. Who was it that told us, Tom? Someone had said that maybe it was one of our friends that's been called up into to serve with the IDF, but the idol was the military.
Yeah,
and
their
idol.
We're safe. Yeah. We have the military
And our technology.
And our technology. So a couple of months after October 7th, we were in Israel and it was Hanukkah and getting invited to people's homes every night. And I was looking at a dreidel as we were with some friends, and they actually had one that was pre-Israel, pre-48. And the dreidel said,
handmade,
just beautiful. A great miracle happened there. And then, of course, when Israel
because they were in Poland, they were not in Israel. So the great miracle happened there in Israel. And then go ahead.
And then in 1948, obviously, the dreidel starts saying a great miracle happened here.
Right.
And so anyway, we were looking at that dreidel. It was so beautiful and meaningful. And we realized, you know, a great miracle happened here on October 7th, because as polarized as Israel was politically, right and left, and there were protests for months, they came together as a nation. And they were unified, and they realized it was a battle. They had to come together, and they did. And it didn't take a week. It didn't take a speech like FDR, you know, did that on Pearl Harbor. They just came together on that day. It was a great miracle. It looked like something in the Old Testament. And then it unfolded from there. And then it just kept going on. And what were you thinking? I mean, did you feel like, I want to go there? I want to help? And
I did. I think all of us, it was like, you just want to rush to the aid. You want to put your arms around people. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt that way when the Ukraine war broke out, when Russia invaded Ukraine, the same thing. Like, I just want to get on a plane and go show solidarity to people. Mm-hmm. And I think I quickly realized there's, you know, after we saw the public opinion quick after, after like 2 hours, like you mentioned, Tom, I realized, man, there's so much work to do here. I need to really focus. I need to stay here and just reach out to as many people as possible and help them understand how to talk about this, encourage them to talk about it. So I could tell very quickly. And I think I said this to my wife that morning on October 7th. I said, this is terrible. This is probably the worst thing that's happened to the Jewish people since the Holocaust. I mean, just with some of what you were starting to see, I said, but Israel is going to have a very short moment of sympathy, and then it's going to flip. I mean, it's just sad to be able to predict that, but this is the world that we live in, unfortunately. That's just the enemy has spread Jew hatred far and wide, and the seeds of it, like you said, Joanne, they live in some of our hearts, and they don't. We don't even know it's there. and he's planted it a long time ago. And until we let the Holy Spirit sift us and really mm-hmm. open up our hearts to do, you know, heart surgery on us, it's not going to mm-hmm. just go away.
That's right.
So I think we're still living in the symptoms of all of that. And I don't see it, you know, quieting down anytime. And so that's why I think that was a day that really did shift history, even redemptive history, as far as it relates to the church and the church understanding what its future looks like and understanding her own identity, you know, as being part mm-hmm. of the family of God connected to the Jewish people. And that's what's so sad to me, you know, when Paul says in Romans 11:25, he says, "Brothers, I warn you, do not be arrogant and do not be ignorant of this mm-hmm. mystery." And I feel this is the great thing that's yes. happened. It was like the Paul's warning to the Romans in AD 55 when he wrote the letter. It has totally come true. We just have this great arrogance in the church towards Israel and this great ignorance in the church towards Israel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it won't be changed until we repent and really ask the Lord Amen. To heal us, unfortunately.
Amen. You know, and it's sad that so many people in the church, I'm talking evangelical believers, they forget that we would not have our faith if it wasn't for the Jewish faith. We have been grafted in, and how Satan has blinded, not, you know, we can understand the blindness the world has, but to see the blindness in the body of Christ, that's what breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Well, I think what I love about what you guys do, honestly, both of you, it's such an inspiration, because I think the reason that a lot of people have this blindness is they look at this whole topic, and it confuses them. You know, they've been, I think, lied to theologically for a long time, and they don't know how to integrate that with, like, mm-hmm. how does God's heart for everyone fit in mm-hmm. with God's heart for a particular group of people?
Yeah.
It just feels so undemocratic, so ungodly in a way, you know? Yeah. And I just love what you guys do, and that you're showing there's an integration here. You know, this isn't about, uh-huh. are you for Jewish people? Or are you for Arabs? You know, or are you for Christians? Or are you for this person? It's we're for all people.
Amen.
We're for all
people.
But, exactly. but so is God, but he has a special love for the Jewish people, and he made that choice.
It started.
Yeah,
and as long as we just align ourselves with him, mm-hmm. then I think there's like a peace that comes over our own hearts of, I don't know how to work this all out up here, but that's God's job, mm-hmm. not mine. And mm-hmm. so anyway, we need more Uncharted Ministries. We need more Tom and Joanne. We really do, because I think in my generation and around the world, you know, we've kind of grown up in this Israel of conflict, mm-hmm. and there hasn't been a lot of kingdom connected with anything Israel related, and people just don't have a taste for it. And I think you guys are just doing such a great job of showing people, even with, you know, the cross of Jesus behind you, there's hope mm-hmm. in this work. There's hope Amen. In what's going to happen. You know, what God's working us towards is the hope of the resurrection. So Amen. I just appreciate Amen. You both so much.
Oh, really. We appreciate you and the church and what you're doing. And I think there's, Nick, just such a fear of pastors, leaders, of being branded. You get a stamp, you know, you get an identification. Oh, you're pro-Israel. Well, that means you hate the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And we have heard that both ways for years now. And we would just say this, we think God's heart is big enough to love them both. Mm-hmm. And he does. And so we have Palestinian friends in Gaza that love Israel. They wish they could live there. And there's no conflict, but it just seems there's so much fear. Oh, am I going to get this stamp? And then it means this. And we just need to refuse labels, because Amen. You love Israel. Does that mean that you hate Palestinians? Far from it at all. Yeah. And we've been able to share that message. So
have you.
Yes.
What do you call it? You call it the Gateway Center for Israel. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And isn't that one of the things you do as well? Try to teach them to love both sides.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. You know, we at Gateway, we say we're about people, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. we're to the Jew first. It doesn't mean that that's we're right. the Jewish people exactly. are better. It doesn't mean that they're the only people we think about. It doesn't mean that we, mm-hmm. you know, chronologically say before we go talk to anybody else, we have to talk to a Jewish person. It's just a reminder that, hey, we love everybody. And yeah, we're about all people. We love all people. God loves all people.
Amen. And,
but he made a special choice with the Jewish people. And so we just try to do what we can.
We love that about y'all.
Yeah, we do. And you know what's beautiful about this whole situation? It was so ugly, October 7th, but who would have thought that many in Israel, and we're talking about Orthodox Jews, would realize that evangelical Christians mm-hmm. are their best friends.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the people groups that have turned on them. And as we've done two goodwill trips, solidarity trips with Israel and donating ambulances and all kinds of things, you guys are doing so much too. We've had so many Orthodox people come up. Why are you doing this? You know, why do you even care for us? And we just say this, Nick, look, you've been persecuted for 4,000 years. We're the church. We've been persecuted for 2,000 years. And as we look around, same people persecuting you are persecuting us. So we had to stick together during this time. And it seems to resonate with them. And that's what the church should be known for. A love for Israel that's mm-hmm. unshakable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so true. That's really true. And in the end, you know, we have one another. And we're going to be either we have the choice to either move towards one another or be pushed towards one another. You know,
it's like when you
guys have lots of kids, so, you know, you're like, you will get along, you know, but I'd like it if you wanted to get along. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's a good way of wording it. Yes. Yeah. Your choice, not our force or what have you.
Yeah. But in the end, you will have to be with one another. So
that's right.
Might as well just figure out how to enjoy it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, we love your heart so much, Nick, and what God has called you to do and the positions that he's given you, the favor that he's given you. And like Tom said earlier, we believe all good things start in Israel, and we see that reflected in your life and in your family and in your ministry, just in this short conversation that we've shared together.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. I'm so grateful for our friendship and getting to know each other more. And I just pray whoever's watching this, if you're wondering, is there a place that I can make a donation and it can be impactful and it can be stewarded well, I just want to give my wholehearted recommendation to sow into Uncharted Ministries. They didn't ask me to say this. They're probably going to try to edit this out. So do not edit this out of the video. I will be upset if you do, okay?
So
but no, really, I'm just so thrilled with what you guys are doing. And I just, if you are someone watching this and you're saying, I just want to be a blessing to Israel, you know, reach out to Tom and Joanne, seriously, and let them be a conduit for you, because I just love getting your newsletters. You're awesome. You're inspirational. I hope when I get older and have 25 grandchildren, I can be as cool as you.
You're so good. Thank you, Nick. Well, we could turn around and say the same thing.
If you're
listening and you're looking for a church home, go to Gateway. You've got, how many campuses does Gateway have?
We have nine in DFW and one in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Yeah.
So there you go. If you're in Texas, for sure, go to Gateway. If you're in Wyoming,
find
a Gateway, because you are got such a beautiful biblical balance of how we need to worship our God, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Let's face it, most of us, well, the three of us sitting here anyway, we're all Gentiles, right? And we would not be here if it wasn't for the faith of our Jewish Savior, Jesus, right?
Amen. Oh, that's so true.
He wasn't Catholic. I've heard so many people say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was Catholic.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, this has been a pleasure being with you. And thank you for all that you do. We're just honored to have you on our program. And boy, as believers now, we really need to stick together. These are difficult times. And, you know, I read something interesting, Nick, recently. I said to Joanne, it seems like what happened on October 7th is that the devil kept popping up just like a jack-in-the-box, you know? And I actually Googled that. I thought, where did the jack-in-the-box start, you know? And so I started to Google that. And I realized that in the 1500s, it was invented by a Frenchman, and it was devil in a box. It was a little figure of a devil that popped out. And that was such a perfect illustration of what happened on October 7th. Israel is just getting beat up, and hostages and murders and horrific things happening. And instead of sympathy, instead of care and love, it's this the devil was popping up all around the world. And there were people saying, well, they deserved it. And this is their problem. And this has happened to them because of all they've done. And it was, they were treated like they were not even human. And so that's where we are. That's the world today. Nobody's hiding any of these things. It's all out there. Mm-hmm. And it's that's a sad day for Israel. But they know that we love them and we want to stand there with them. And it's a wonderful time. And I think even Jewish Orthodox people are asking questions. They're asking, is this Gog and Magog? Or we've even heard some of them say, is this Armageddon? Which is out of the New Testament, you know, but they know that word. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful time for us to stand with them and share the love of Christ, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, we'd love to have you close us in prayer. Would you do that as we end our program today?
Yeah, I'd be honored to. Yeah. Thank you so much. Lord, we just give you thanks. We thank you that you care about us. You love us. I thank you that even listening to Tom and Joanne's stories, Lord, that you have worked through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life and resurrection of Jesus to build the kingdom of God in our hearts. And we just say, we're so thankful, Lord. Thank you for letting us be in your service. And I pray that those who are watching would be blessed. I pray that you would bless them and open their eyes to seeing the wonderful things that you have planned for them. And we pray, Lord, just together to bless the Jewish people. We pray for safety and security for our friends in Israel, for our Jewish friends here in America and around the world. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and keep them and cause your face to shine on them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. This is the Uncharted Ministries podcast. We've had with us Nick Lesmeister. He is the executive pastor for Church and Jewish Relations at Gateway Church. And what an honor to hear about your life and all that you're doing. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes.
Thank you so
Nick.
Much, you guys.
You.